Welcome to SNC's podcast series, SNC Critical Insights. Today we're talking to Inos Iñata, a partner in Sullivan & Cromwell's Finance and Restructuring Group and co-head of the firm's global project development and finance practice. Inosi advises clients on a broad range of corporate and financing transactions, including project financings, cross-border financings, and joint ventures across the energy, natural resources, and infrastructure sectors worldwide. Inosi is a go-to advisor for developers of liquefied natural gas, or LNG, projects. Over her career, she has advised on groundbreaking U.S. and global projects, including Cheniere Corpus Christi LNG, Cameron LNG, Australia Pacific LNG, and currently Rovuma LNG. Her work in the LNG space has received numerous Deal of the Year awards by industry publications, including Project Finance International and IJ Global, and her work is noted in recent editions of the Chamber's Guides. Today we'll talk with Inosi about how she helped her client, Cheniere Energy, achieve a successful close on a landmark $6.1 billion term loan for the expansion of Cheniere's Corpus Christi LNG liquefaction export project. The transaction, the first of its kind in the U.S. since 2015, supported Inosi's recognition this year as a Project Finance MVP by Law360 and as a Dealmaker of the Year by The American Lawyer. So Inosi, how did your representation of Cheniere come about? And what work had you done with the client prior to this project?
Our work with Cheniere Energy, Inc. started in 2014. Cheniere Energy was the first company in the U.S. that started to convert their LNG regasification projects that had originally been developed to import gas into the U.S. to become an LNG export project that then purchased gas from the U.S. grid that was being developed because of the shale gas revolution and sell gas internationally. And so Cheniere had initially developed a Sabine Pass project, and they were on the verge of developing their second LNG project, Corpus Christi in Texas. And they came and approached us to have a beauty contest to pitch them, to represent them on that project. And we were engaged to do that in the middle of 2014.
So could you tell me maybe a little bit more about that project?
Sure. We helped them develop terms for their Corpus Christi project that really reflected the best terms that were available in the market for LNG projects at the time. And we're successfully able to get them financing for a $15 billion project in Corpus Christi. They used that to develop two LNG processing units. Their hope was to develop a third, but commodity prices started to drop at the end of 2015 with a sharp dip in oil prices. And because of that, at that point in time, they were only able to develop two processing units. Subsequently, we've been working with them to commercialize their third LNG train. And that is the work that we did more recently with the financing in 2018 of their third LNG train.
So Inosi, how is this deal different than other project financing deals that you've worked on in the past?
I think to answer this question, it's useful to look at some of the history of LNG project financing. Traditionally, LNG projects were financed off the back of long-term sale and purchase agreements with highly rated investment-grade counterparties. The reason for this was that the sale of LNG and liquefaction of LNG to export required huge capital expenditure to construct the facility. And many of these projects were project financed off of the back of long-term revenue streams with these investment-grade buyers. The project finance market had become used to long-term point-to-point LNG contracts that provided a steady stream of revenues for 20 plus years that they would use to support the debt that was being incurred. With the shift in commodity prices in 2015, the market began to change. There was more supply of LNG into the market with the development of projects in Australia, Papua New Guinea, and other places around the world. There was also a sharp drop in oil prices, meaning buyers were more hesitant to commit to long-term contracts that were benchmarked off of a particular commodity price index that could change in the short term. And there were also new emerging market buyers who had less creditworthy balance sheets who were coming onto the market. As a result of this, there was a shift in the market to become more of a buyer's market for LNG, and it was therefore harder for LNG sellers to get the traditional point-to-point LNG contracts with long-term and investment-grade counterparties.
That's interesting. So in 2018, how did you address these challenges relating to the shifting commodity market?
We had to look very carefully at the risks that this new market created. The fact that there were potentially less investment grade counterparties, there were shorter tenure SBAs, and there were more flexible terms in the SBAs, the sale and purchase agreements for LNG sales, meant that lenders might perceive the project that we were trying to finance to have more risk. Because of that, we took some of the structures that we were used to developing in long-term LNG contract projects and tweaked them to be able to address the risks that the lenders might perceive in this new project. We were fortunate in this case, it was an expansion of an existing LNG project. And so in looking at the project as a whole, there were mitigants based on the existing structure, but we also had to develop new structures in the financing terms and in the commercial agreements that helped lenders get comfortable with the fact that they may be seeing new features within the LNG commercial contracts that they had not seen before.
So Inosi, I understand that this new financing structure for Cheniere is now a precedent for financing other LNG projects. Can you speak a bit about that?
Sure. I think the change in the LNG market is continuing. We're seeing more pressure on sellers of LNG to have shorter tenure contracts, to have a wider range of counterparties that are included in their contracts. We're also seeing the request from LNG buyers to have a lot more flexibility in their contracts, to be able to provide different kinds of credit support or a lot of destination flexibility. All of these features will continue because there's more liquidity of LNG in the market. There are more shorter-term spot sales of LNG, and buyers want to take advantage of this. So because of this, I think there will be a higher demand on the finance market to look at structures like the ones we developed for the Corpus Christi expansion financing and use some of those same structures to mitigate the risks that are created by these new LNG contractual structures.
Inosi, how has your experience at S&C allowed you to work on this successful project?
You know, S&C, unlike many other firms, has predominantly a sponsor borrower practice in the project finance space. Because of that, we have been intimately involved with our clients in developing structures for their LNG and other projects from the beginning. And this has given us great insight as to how the structures are developed and how to meet the commercial objectives of our clients in putting those together. In addition, we have a long history on large oil and gas projects, and especially now in the LNG space, having worked globally in Papua New Guinea, Australia, Yemen, and currently even in Mozambique on some of the largest and most innovative LNG projects that are happening around the world. This has been recognized by various awards, including for the Cheniere project, but also for some of the earlier projects that we've done, and reflects the fact that we bring the innovative thinking that we've developed over the years to each new project to be able to get the best terms for our clients.
Thank you for listening to S&C Critical Insights. For more information about our practice, please visit us on the web at www.solcrom.com.